I'd like to start with a scripture in Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, in the 16th verse, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I was noticing something that was said in prayer a little while ago. It was mentioned that our faith, or something about it wasn't about our faith, but about who we was having faith in. And that's what I want to think a little bit about today. I was glad to hear that. Do you know who you're believing in? Have you ever really just considered what you're believing in? It makes a big difference to try to have faith but to not really know what you're having faith in or to try to do. But do you realize what kind of a God we're talking about? Think about it for a little bit this morning. I'd like to think about a couple aspects of our God. The first one is His power. Do you know how powerful God is? Think about it. We're impressed. I know as a young man and all, I see the young people and all, and power is something that is impressive. And you know, we'll be around at the different meetings, sometimes after meetings, while we'll be across from the table, and just now one young man will put up his arm and say, "Come on, you know, I want to," because, and when it gets through and somebody usually establishes themselves, and I've heard a lot of talk about, "Oh, I'm telling you, they're strong. They're powerful. They can really do it." Well, because people, we think about that power. You know, that power, I mean, I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings, but you don't have any. I want to think about God and the power that He has and what it's all about. God is all powerful. All powerful. There's nothing that God can't do. But just saying that, don't really get it. Maybe you're not the kind, but I am, and I've meditated many times over the power of God. Lord, just what can you do and what can't you do? What have you done? And I look around and look at the things that impress me, and then it comes to my mind, that's nothing. That's nothing compared to God. When I was a young man, there was a few people around my area that liked to drag race, and they would work hard building their cars and doing that, and some of them did it out on places where they was allowed to do it, but most of them, they was stretches of road there that they would, and they would time it, and everybody would rush in there, and it was a ways from town, so it took the police a little while to get there, and so they could get there and line up, and they'd have a race, and usually they'd bet money on it, and one fast race, and they was all gone, and police would be called, and everybody would be gone. Well, I went to them before, and remember one day going there, and it was the first one I ever went to, and I remember this old boy, he had this race car, and he pulls it off of the trailer, and gets it there. They're getting ready to line up, and when he fired that car up, that thing just rumbled. Boom. And I was standing off from it, and the ground was vibrating. Boom. That thing was singing. And I'm going to tell you, there was a sense of awe come over me at the power that he had harnessed in this vehicle. And now he was ready to race. And he had power. Everybody talking about the power. Horsepower. Horsepower that he had under that engine. And it was impressive right there at that time. And I was awestruck that the ground could vibrate from a car. That's nothing. That's nothing compared to God this morning. God wants us to be encouraged. He wants our faith to lift up in Don't ever doubt the power of God. That the things that we're impressed on in this world is nothing. Listen, we all of a sudden we'll be around here, or I know you folks are, and there'll be a siren go off. There's a tornado activity around. And I'll tell you, it can be pretty awesome. Because I've not seen the tornadoes themselves, but I've seen the damage that they've done. Men will build structures and put his best effort into it of steel and concrete and bolts and fasten things together, and one of these tornadoes can come through and can rip it all apart. Wave it all apart. I remember seeing a place where it come up and looked and over there in the Missouri area, but there was a place to where there was a tornado that went through, and there was a yard there. And it didn't look like there was a thing out of place. There was a foundation there, and there wasn't a stick in the yard. The yard was nice and mowed and clean, and there wasn't a thing in it at all. And a foundation there, and it looked like somebody had made it that way. It was so perfectly done. And then a couple hundred yards off, there was just one great big pile of rubble that was the house that used to sit there. And I looked at that and had a sense of awe. What power it took to move that out of there and do that. Do you know that's nothing? That's absolutely nothing in the scope of our God. And we think of more disasters than that and what goes on our planet and all of those kind of things. Do you know that's nothing to what our God is and what He can do? And I like to offer this thought to our thinking. God created everything that was created in 6 days. And think about it. My mind runs out. I'll be honest with you. I cannot figure out how an ant does what it does. One ant and the power. Do you know, we think about it sometimes, and I think we don't even near comprehend that God actually detailed this little creature out. He detailed it. I don't know how it lives. Do they have a heart that pumps like ours? I'm not a botanist. I don't get into the insect world much. But what kind of a system do they have in there? You know how durable those things are? I used to get them when I was young. I liked to play with them. I'd torment a couple of them until they got mad and put them together and watch them fight. And I like to flip them up in the air, especially the big ones, and watch. Do you know you can't throw an ant high enough in the air to hurt him when he hits? It won't hurt it. It'll take off running and do it. I've seen an ant that big carry something that long. I think, how does he... And he'll climb up a wall with it. I think, how does he have that kind of power in that thing? Do you know God detailed him out like that? One little ant? Well, how far then, and what has God done? And what kind of power must He have to simply say, this is it and it is? What material did God have on hand to make the little creature with? He didn't have anything on hand. He spoke it. He spoke it into happening. When God stirs His little finger down in the Caribbean somewhere, He can cause a hurricane. And it's an awesome, devastating power of that thing. You know, that's not really anything compared to God. I'm talking about faith this morning. I'm talking about what we believe in. I'm going to tell you, when that old boy pulled that car off of there and started it up, you know what I said? There's the winner. The other fellow, he just had this old car that he worked on, and he started it up, and I wasn't impressed. But when the ground started vibrating, I said, there's the winner of this race. Well, the race never happened, and it was never proven. But the power that was exerted made me to believe. I had faith right there that this old boy was going to do it because he had the power to do it with. What we're believing in today is something that's awesome, folks. God, there is nothing He can't do. He's done it all, and it goes beyond our imagination, beyond our thinking. This Scripture here says, now unto Him. I love that. That's bringing it to who it's supposed to be brought to. Now unto Him. Who's the Him in this? Unto our God. Unto our Savior. Unto the one that wants to do it. This God that we have is limitless in what He can do. What do you say? Infinite? How far does the power of God go? What has He done? Our eyes has never seen to the length of His creation. To think, to be amazed at just one little old ant that He's made. But I'm going to tell you, He's went so far beyond my mind. But it says unto Him that is able. Thank God today. Our faith is to be in Him that is able. He's able. If He's able to do all that, is He able to take care of your problems? Is He able to lead you through life? He surely is. And when I look at the awesome, I sometimes will look at the sky and get the same sense of awe, much more than that old car pulling off there and rumbled. And I'll get this sense of awe and I'll say, there's who my faith in. It's in a God that spread the universe. Do you know that you can come up? I know they have all kind of machines out there, and I hope you know today, I'm not belittling it. But it is man's thinking and man's way, and He's invented these machines that can look right through you. it's just something how they've done that, and just look through you. But do you know God knows every little dealing of you? He knows the things that they don't know about you. They don't know even what starts things altogether. They don't know what it is altogether, but you know God does. God, in His planning, it wasn't that He just said, and let there be man. I don't believe it was like that. I think the design was of His intelligent, powerful mind that made you. Now, if He made you, He knows you, don't He? Don't He know what's going on with you? All, totally, all together. I want our faith today to be lifted up. Lifted up into that one that knows the very dealings in your body. He knows you don't know. I'm going to say, I don't know. I don't know the influences that's happened to me from my birth on. I'm just not smart enough. I'm not intelligent enough to know what I've picked up through my life that affects me today. But I know one that knows. And He knows all together. He designed the plan. He knows what it is. And now unto Him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all you could ask and think. Now I'm going to tell you something today. He can do that in any of your imaginations, but I don't think that's really what this is talking about. It's talking about that which is good and right and the promises. Do you know what God has done for you today? No. You don't. You don't really know all that He's done. You've not thought about all that God's done for this day. This day started and God done it. That's right. You had strength enough to wake up and get, and it's God that's doing it. Have you considered all that He... Your imagination and all your mind can't conceive of the great goodness of God. And the power that He exerts every day in His creation to keep it going. What does hold it together? The power of God. The power of God is keeping it. That's who we're trusting in today. And when we come to these special days, which I really didn't even know that it lost me that it was a day that we was given to fasting and prayer and for healing. But the Lord gave this message a couple days ago. And I feel like the Lord wants us to realize today that we're serving a powerful God. A great and powerful God that can do exceedingly and abundantly above all we could ask or think. And I know that we all know that. But there's where our faith is. Because what we do many times, we'll put our faith in something that is so inferior and think that it's powerful. Well, they've got some powerful drugs out there. His little finger starts the hurricanes. And we've got something powerful. God is powerful. But if He was only powerful and not interested in us, it wouldn't do us any good, now would it? So I want to say the second part of what God is. He is all powerful, But the Scripture's best definition of Him, and we come short in any attempt of it, God is love. Now let's think about the power of God being infinite, and it is not a bit longer or shorter than His love. Totally infinite. God, do you know how much God loves you? Well, I don't know how to explain it. Don't know how to say it. Men's failed all through the history to try to come up with it. We have ways of saying it. The best of all that can be said about it, the best description of it, the way we can understand it the most, is that Jesus died for us. That is the best way God could say it. It was His perfect demonstration of it. It's the best He could do of it. But men have tried to pin it, and I want to read a little bit of it. We have a song in our book. 484? Is that the one I'm thinking? Okay, that is it, isn't it? That is the, I know He loves me by that most precious gift that He gave. He gave His all. It's the best He could do. It's not the best there was. But listen at the way a man tried to tell it. Alright? In the song, The Love of God. In the last verse. Well, the first of all, it says in the first verse, the love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. And it's true. It's absolutely true. How can we define it? The last verse, this third verse, said, could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill? And every man a scribe by trade. To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Now, let's put this into perspective. You buy that. You ever spill a little ink? You know how far ink will go. Get you an ink pen then, just as you want to test this out. I don't know. There's not near an ounce of ink in a pen. I don't know how you could even... There's not much in it. But you get you a pen with one of these little cartridges in it, and then you take off writing, God loves me. And you go ahead and write that until you run that pen out. How many times do you think you write that? I'm just trying to put the perspective of the author here of what he was trying to say about the love of God. How many lines would you write? I don't know. I remember I had to do it. Maybe you didn't. But you ever get in trouble in school? And the teacher say, okay, I want you to write so many times, you know, I will not throw the eraser. In my time, I always got in trouble for... I love to see things propelled. And it got me in so much trouble. And I remember, I want you to write this. And you know, write it over pages and over around, I will not do it. How many pages do you think with one pen would you write that God loves me? Well, I don't know what the answer is. But I do know this. If when I start comparing that to if we with ink, the ocean could fill. Now, come on. That's a long ways. I don't think the writer was exaggerating. I don't think we can understand exactly just the love of God and how much it is. And it is so important today to our faith. When we realize the awesome power of God and that every bit of that power is designed to work for me in my life. Beyond the power of the hurricanes, beyond the power of the solar movements that the scientists say that is enormous above what we can think. All of the sun's motions and all that it does. I want you to think today that the love of God, if we with ink the ocean could feel, how much writing do you think that would take to empty that thing out? But that's what this writer had in his mind when he tried to get to the bottom of how much God loved us. Oh, I'm telling you, my heart swells up. This is who we have faith in. I want to say today, have faith in God. Because He's never, ever wrong. He's always right. He's all power at your disposal, at the good. I would now, brethren, unto Him that's able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we can ask or think, to the good of our soul is what we're thinking. That's what He was talking about, that we might understand God. That the goodness, He ain't talking about me thinking about these far-fetched and wild and wonderful, all these ideas. He's talking about all that I can think of good that could come into my life, all that could bless me, all the promises that could be fulfilled, all the things that God would do in my life. You can think of all of them, and He's far beyond it. He does more for you than you can think about. All the time doing it for us, giving us life, giving us hope, blessing us, helping us. It's God to do it. And He can do far above what we can think. And He loves us with the same kind of love and power. He loves us to be able to bring it. And I'm encouraged today. Be encouraged today that no matter what your problem is, you're having faith is anchored on the One that's faithful. My faith is not, we get it wrong sometimes. I get to thinking, I'm supposed to have faith, so I sit around and grip myself. I'm going to have faith. I'm going to mind myself into it. I'm going to will myself into it. No. I get to know the One. I get to know Him. And as I get to know Him, I realize the power and the love of God. And then when I begin to get that, and I want to go back and look at that, but think about that. Look at this Scripture in Ephesians 16. That He would grant you according to His riches. Why? Why is He interested? I know my thoughts towards you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. That He would grant, why, Lord, do You even fool with me? Who is man that Thou art mindful of him? Lord, what? I feel so insignificant. Lord, what are You doing? But He says that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. It goes to the same thing, because that Scripture said that He can do exceeding and abundantly above all we're asked to think, according to a power. What power? The power of His Spirit that He wants to grant unto us. That we would have it in our spirit. Something that was powerful in there according to this. He can do all things good that we can think of in our lives. I want to say today, God don't always heal. Lord help us. It's not to say that if God don't heal, He's failed. I want to tell you, the victory, the power of His love propels us above it. It really propels us above it. When I have faith in the power of God, can He heal? Yes. He's healed us. Oh, I'm telling you, the blessings and healings that we can speak of. But I don't put that as a test of whether God's powerful and loving or not. Not at all. As a matter of fact, I cherish the times that the Lord came and the things come into my life that drew me close to God. I cherish them. My old flesh draws back sometimes to say I'd do it again. It does. I mean, I have my flesh sometimes will say, oh, I just to do that. But the Spirit in me says, yes. Yes, I'd do it again. Yes, it's profitable. Yes, it's blessed. He's bringing me goodness. He's loving me. He's doing something wonderful that I can't get to myself, and I know I can't. I know how I am unless the Lord deals with my soul under these circumstances. I'm wretched. I can't get there. But by His workings, He brings us to this place, and all of a sudden I realize more than ever, Lord, I need You. Help me. Help me in this thing. And the things come along, and there's the power and the love of God right there. that He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith. Oh, what? That Christ might dwell in your heart by faith. What, I get faith there then? Yeah, there's where my faith takes hold. Right there. That Christ might dwell in my heart by faith. What am I having faith in? The Christ. What's He done? What hasn't He done? That's my faith. That's my faith. I know that He saved me. How many times have I been in that battle to where it looks like I'm losing? It looks like I'm going down. And then my faith takes hold of what? He saved my soul. He died for me, and why would the Lord die for me and do all that and then give up on me? No! He ain't giving up. That we might have faith in Christ, that being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height. This takes dimension now, doesn't it? It's not just flat. It's not just blank. It's taking on dimensions now. It's going all the directions. We begin to understand things now. And we see things now. And now I see more than I've ever seen. You know where I see Christ the most? In hard times. In hard times. The times that I was praying one time that the Lord, I want to be more like You. Well, I know what I was praying. I really had a desire to be like the Lord. Lord, I want to be more like You. But in my infinite mind, I was thinking, Lord, just zap me with Your grace. That's what I was thinking. Give me a real pouring out of Your grace until I just act like You without even thinking about it. But that's not what the Lord done. The Lord began to work with situations, and all of a sudden I was being abused. And things happened, and I was like, I went to the Lord and said, Lord, here I'm trying to, I was helping these people out, and there's nothing I wouldn't do for them. And I just, my only intention, Lord, was to do them right. And they turned on me. And the Lord said, that's just what they did to me. And reminded me of my prayer. You prayed you wanted to be more like me. And you know what? I said, Lord, help me. I've got my opportunity to be more like Christ. And now I'm going to have to pray here a little bit and get to the place that I can love them the way the Lord did. And you know what? It was no big fantastic. There was no lightning. There was no thunder. There was no skipping and dancing. But I learned a little bit more about the Lord that day. I found out what it meant to be more like God. And I was so thankful at the end of it, I had to say, thank You, Jesus, for that. I'll accept that. I take that. That Christ might dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. How can you know something that passes knowledge? Now that seems like a contradiction, to know something that passes knowledge. But it's not. Of course it's not. What it's talking about is to be able to know, but it passes our... We can't get to the end of it. But I know. I understand to know. I know God. I know. Do I know all of Him? Well, it will take eternity's law. You'll never know. It'll take eternity. And then we'll still... But we'll know... But I have a knowledge of the thing that I can't know all of. The greatness of God. I know the majesty. But I can't see the fullness of it. I can't even understand His creation. And I know He didn't exhaust Himself in 6 days. He did not exhaust Himself in 6 days. What more could He do? How far could He go? It's limitless. And to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. But I know that love. I felt the love, but I can never quite get all of it. That you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now, unto Him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above all We ask or think according to the power that works in us. Unto Him be glory with the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages. Amen. Now, that's faith. We have a confidence in the one that can do it. I am assured today that God not only can, but will and wants to deal with every situation we have. He wants to bring it to its ultimate good. And you and I can't imagine that. But He can, and He wants to do that if we'll believe and have faith in Him and the power that He's got to do it. And sometimes we get this, and I want to deal with this thought too. It is for you. But it is for you. You may say, well, they seem like their prayers get answered. I know, I've said the same thing. Brother Sam, well, he's hard. I kind of tagged around after Brother Sam and some. And we had him for a pastor a good while up there at home, and I just would marvel time to time. That man just seemed like he believed. He was a little disappointed. I mean, he was disappointing and asking the Lord sometimes. If he went and prayed and something didn't happen, he comes to your house and prayed. Brother Sammons gets to thinking, Lord, is there something wrong with me? If he prayed very much and something didn't happen, he started praying about himself. Lord, why ain't prayer being answered? He was used to prayer being answered. And I seen him come to the house, and he would get down in prayer, and by the time he got through praying before he prayed, he prayed to get you ready for prayer. Before he'd come and anoint us many times, he'd come and pray, and by the time he got through praying, there was no doubt. He was praying, it seemed like the Lord opened up things, and he'd pray, and the situation over and over it seemed. And I used to say, Lord, I want that. And I remember when he got down to his last day, I even told the Lord, Lord, he ain't going to need that anymore. I'd like to have some of that. And he just had that about it. But I'm going to say today, Brother Mark was, he was just a man. He was just, and I want to look at that scripture. It's a scripture in James, the 5th chapter of James. And he's dealing with this subject, that we would have faith and believe. Is any afflicted in the 13th verse? Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he hath committed any sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that you may be healed. That the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. All right? Gives us a little line of things. I won't really get into that, but gives us a line of things to do, of obedience, of things that helps our faith when we're obedient to God and all. But then he says, Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by a space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Now, that says something that was really meaningful. He was a man of like passion. Now, what does that mean? He's just like you. What we say, well, I got to grin around here and try to get faith and try to... I got to do that. This is the feller that was sitting up there feeling sorry for himself because the queen was after him. Wasn't he? This the same guy that got into the stupor and he didn't want to come out of there. And oh, Lord, I'm the only one left. And they've killed all the prophets and all that. And you say, well, boy, this feller, that's why he answered his prayers. No, not really. He was a man of like passion. That he earnestly... And think of this. Think of what he's trying to tell us here. Under God, there is great power. And at the prayer of a man... Now, think of what this encompasses, folks. At the prayer of a man that had a desire that the work of God, not his own cause... Why are we here? Why are we here? What's the conclusion of the whole matter? Fear God. to keep His commandments. Here was a man that had a desire that the great God of heaven would be known in the earth. He wasn't doing this for his own cause. He wasn't trying to lift up Elijah. He wasn't trying to lift up the other prophets. And he prayed earnestly for the cause of God to be proved in the earth. And do you know what a profound effect it had? One man that earnestly prayed. You're one person. And who's to say that your prayers isn't what tips the battles? Who's to say that your prayers isn't what changes and alters? But one man and his passion. And he had like passion as you do. And God didn't love him one ounce more than He does you. And He didn't love you any less than He did him. And God's power hasn't diminished from the days of Elijah. God is all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-loving. His cause is right to promote because it's the best cause humanity can have. It's the salvation of souls. What did the Scripture say? Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. Why? He said, because it's the power of God unto salvation. It's the power that God brings salvation. So it's all powerful. You'll know the Scripture says that He had all power in heaven and earth. How much is all? Brother Gordon tells us how much all is. Brother Salmon says all's all. That's all is all. It's pretty easy to get that. It's all it is all. I got all power in heaven and earth. And He was a man of like passion. I want to tell you today, you have the privilege today to earnestly, that means you've got to mean it. When you mean it with all your heart for His purpose and His cause to be glorified in your life and doing that, you've got the foundation to cause something to happen. I want us to be encouraged today because I know I'm in battles. I know that I have these times and this is where I come to with them. I have people that I want to see saved. Now how do we pray? Do you believe that this old prophet prayed and it didn't rain in the space of 3.5 years? God honored him. You talk about power? Now that's some power. See, when Jesus, you remember when Jesus was on the sea there in the ship and all, and the disciples got fearful and all, and he came in, the Lord ended up coming up. And do you remember when he said, peace be still? And it, in my mind, it just seemed like he just... And the disciples marveled. And they said, what manner of man is this that even the elements are subject to him? What manner of man was he? They marveled because there was a localized storm out there in Galilee and he calmed it. They didn't know that was a drop, a very small drop in a very large bucket of the power of God. And that little thing that he had done, you think of the miracle that took place that it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then, when the time came to glorify God, not him, when it come to glorify God, he prayed. Folks, be encouraged today. Your loved ones can be saved. Be encouraged today that your neighbors can be saved. Be encouraged today that the problems that you have with one another, you got conflict in home? Sure we do. It can be fixed. Have confidence that there's a God that we can pray to and have faith in because He's got all power to work with these things. He's got all desire to do it. His love's intact today to do what's best. He loves them more than you do. Be encouraged about your faith today. Be encouraged that God will do what He says He'll do, what He wants to do. This man earnestly prayed and he was like you and I are. It was meant for that reason for us to take courage that we're no different than He is in the realms of God. We don't always know how God's going to answer our prayers. We look at our nation and it's fastly slipping. Oh, the moralities and all of it. I'm going to say, have faith in God. Isn't that what He taught them over there when He said, the fig tree, look how soon it withers away. And you know what His response was? Have faith in God. What caused it? What was the power that done it? What's the power that dries up these kind of things in our life? You got something that needs dried up? What's the power? God. Go on and dry these old sicknesses up, these old diseases. You know, many times, though, and Lord help us, to look beyond those things into the will of God. We're God's servants. I say this with reservation because I know the battle of the flesh too. But I'm going to tell you something. When we get to the point to say, Lord, this I give you this frame. This body is yours. And you use it to however you want to, then the prayers become different. Yes, I want to be healed. Yeah, I don't want to suffer. I want to be healed of that. And we put that as a focus. It's the wrong focus sometimes. The focus is to glorify God and lift Him up. Jesus come to the place of that suffering that He had to do, and He dealt with it too. But He also said, not my will, but Thy will be done. See, this is the place that goes exceedingly abundantly above. Lord, help us here in this place. That we realize really what it's about. I'm not having faith just in life. Yeah, I have faith in God to do the right thing. I said to my wife recently, we were talking about the idea that some people sometimes get the idea they can tell God what to do. Now, that's not faith to me. I told my wife, if God would say to me, you tell me what you'd do, I'd say, Lord, no. I'd tell you wrong. I'm very comfortable with the fact that you know what you're doing. And I ain't about to get into the realms of telling you what to do. I wouldn't do it if you give me the privilege to do it. I'd say, Lord, you do it. I would be comfortable with that. But he was a man of like passion, and that's very important to us because God will deal with us in our little frames. Have courage today in whatever your situation is. That this is who we're serving, one that's able. And we'll look at another scripture that I found. I got a lot of courage out of this scripture. It's over in the 10th chapter of Joshua. I'll pick it up at 12. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said, in the sight of Israel, sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and the moon in the valley of Ajalon. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and has not to go down about a whole day. And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man. For the Lord fought for Israel. Now, this is the way I understand this scripture. Of all the miracles ever done that actually captured of what it took to do it, if you know what I'm saying. Jesus calmed this localized sea in not nearly the whole earth. It didn't rain on the earth, which properly interpreted it as the known earth. It wasn't saying the whole world didn't have rain for 3.5 years. If you look into it, it was properly talking about the known world. For 3.5 years. Of all these miracles, none ever. This actually took in the motions of the planets. The sun actually stood still. God, at the voice of a man. Can you grasp that today? Can you understand that that of all the creation and all that, that actually at the will, the idea of a man that so wanted to do the will of God. And destroy the enemies that he caused the sun to stand still for about the space of a day. Will he not help us in our problems? What was he trying to destroy? Some enemy over there that in type meant the enemies that we have today? Why would he put more emphasis on the type than he would the real thing? When we have a desire in our life to conquer for the Lord in our own lives, do you not think that God's going to give us time? Isn't that what it's talking about? Time to do it? You don't think He's going to make the way to do it and give us the light to do it? Give us the energy to do it, the ability to do it when we want to with all our heart? Where's our faith in the one that made the sun stand still? Lord, help us today. It's not about this life of ours. It's about God. It's about God's desire for us in this life. It's about saving souls. Lord, help me. Would you die for another soul? We say we want to be like Jesus. Now, Lord, help us. I've got an opportunity here. Die out to myself. I got an opportunity to say, Lord, if you can save anybody by my life in any means, I'll give it to you. Give me grace. But here comes old Joshua in the middle of his battle, and this evening started setting, and he couldn't accomplish. He could not destroy the enemy of the Lord. And you know what he said? Sun, stand still. And God, what did it take to do that? Of all the miracles, it said there was never a day like it or after it that God hearkened to the voice of a man of what he done. But I say this, in our day he has. Because in type this meant, I'm going to tell you, it's more important to God, the salvation of our souls. But if you desire to serve the Lord today, you can. And when we come for our healings, and I want to say this, we have perfect right, we have the privilege of this great power and love and come and treat Him for the healings of our body. Why are we doing that though? I want to say why. So we can go ahead and be indifferent about God? Are we coming to get healed that we can go on and play in the world? Are we doing that for things that's under God? God's not interested in it. But when we come and say, Lord, the vessel, I'm coming to healing that my life might glorify You. Lord, that this, I've got things to do for You. We've got people to touch. I've got things to... I've got an enemy to conquer. I've got things to do, Lord. And now we come with that kind of shit. He can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask and think. What things? Those things that pertain to the great kingdom of God. And when we come in earnestly praying, Lord, I would like for You to heal me so that I can make another trip to the ball game. I'd like for You to heal me because I sure would like to be able to go out to the mall. How about, Lord, help Thy servant. Give me strength and energy to do Thy will. We think so wrong so many times, but our faith is hinged on Him who is faithful. And when we don't come in that spirit of faithfulness, we don't have faith. When I come with the full assurance that, Lord, my life, I give it to You. My life is Yours. Glorify Your name with my life. And if it's suffering to do it, I need Your grace. I need Your help. But Lord, I come as a servant and I want to do Your will. I'm going to tell you some of the times that the Lord's helped me. I was in the Myrtle. I was at the Myrtle School Assembly, and I was there one day, and I noticed that there was a tick had lodged itself between my fingers right there, and of course I got the tick off, and I thought very little about it at all after that, and I come on to the Guthrie meeting that year, and then we was going from there to the Holly Hill meeting, a lot like we're doing this year. And about 2 weeks after this tick bit me, I didn't even remember it, but I noticed that my hand was getting a big ring around it right there, and it was itching, and it was starting to color, discolor and all these things right there, 2 weeks after that. And I went, what's going on with that? I couldn't think about it. And then it was brought to my mind again, the center of that was the tick bite. And I remembered that. And I went on for this meeting, and it was bothering me a little. When I got to Holly Hill meeting, I took the fever and chilling. I remember being in the bathtub. It was hot down there. I remember being in there trying to get warm and all this. And then a rash broke out on my body. And I remember I was not disturbed. I was very peaceful about it. And I remember telling the Lord, Lord, I believe You sent me to these meetings. And we prayed that the Lord would help me that I might be able to be a blessing in the meeting. It wasn't about me. See what I'm saying? I come before the Lord to get something for the Lord because my heart was in the meetings. And it seemed like the Lord had a whole lot ahead of me of the summer. This is what I want you to do this summer. And all of a sudden, I'm attacked with something. I don't know what it was, but this is what was happening. And you know what the Lord did? He healed me of it. Why? Because He had something for me to do. And I can honestly, with faith, I believe that. I believe the Lord had something for me. So I said, for Thy sake, Lord, heal this old body. Not that I can go and enjoy the flesh. You know how many times we... Lord, help me, I don't know better how to do it. But I know sometimes there should be a good counseling session first when we come to pray for somebody. What are you going to do with the healing God's going to give you? What are you about to do with it? And Lord is merciful and loving, and He's helped many times to show people His love. I know He has. But when we come into God, here was one that wanted to do the will of God, and he simply said, "Son, stand still." And God hearkened to the voice of a man. Can you imagine being responsible, being a man that was responsible for the son standing still? This says a man did it because of the heart of a man. And so I would like to say, be encouraged today. Because if God stopped the motions of this galaxy for the purpose of His cause, will He not do it for us when we in earnest come before the Lord and say, "Lord, I need help"? I remember many times at home being discouraged, being cast down, and I'd go upstairs to a place I had in prayer, and my testimony was, I never come down them stairs like I went up. Go up there and pour my heart out to God, and I'm telling you, He'd do something for me, and I'd come back down the stairs so light. And so, what was He doing? He'll stop the sun for you. He'll help you in your life. This God that's all-powerful, almighty, and all-loving wants to work in your life today. Any problems, any difficulties, bring that thing to the Lord with that consecration in your heart. Lord, I'm not going to quit serving You if You don't. I'm coming for the benefits of a child. I'm coming in to know better Your will. I'm coming in that I can further do it. This is hindering the way I work for You. It's hindering the way I live my life. And I would that You prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. I think Peter wrote that. I would that you be in health and prosper. To do what? The will of God. I would that you have strongness, strength in your body, that you might be able to carry forth the Word of God. You might do it, but I'm going to tell you this. The Word of God is made perfect in weakness. His strength is made perfect in weakness. When you really have the desire to be strong in God, many times it's going to be through a weakness of the flesh. It's going to be through something that you may carry in your life. Now, I'm going to mention Brother Jim White. Many of you know him up home. He's a precious brother to me. He got a cancer on his face several years ago. He labored with that. He did. You know, old cancers will just do all that and this and that. But you know what happened? That thing got to about the size, and it got there at one point, and it grew there, and his eyes started watering and all that. God's got a lot of different ways, folks, to deal with us. His testimony ain't others' testimonies. But you know what the Lord did for him? He's had that thing for years. His doctor friend told him, "Oh, this is what's going to do it and all this, and you take that off." And you know the Lord touched that thing and He did not take it away. It's there for a memory. It's there for a memorial. But it never does anything. It's as if the Lord caused it to stand still. Stand still. We need things in our life. In weakness, we're made perfect. All His strength is made so much. I'm going to tell you, the times that I felt like the Lord made me most effectual from the pulpit was when I was absolutely drained of anything of myself. When I got to that point, it seemed like the Lord just poured out. Sometimes that's what the Lord wants to do with us. But be encouraged today. We serve an almighty, all-loving God that will cause the sun to stand still for you in your life. He wants to answer our prayers. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.